Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We're joined by Patrick Dunleavy, one of the really superb experts on matters involving jihadism in jail, and more generally, what the implications of it mean for the rest of us. And it's a special pleasure to be able to talk with him at some length, and I'm so grateful to you, Patrick, for taking the time. He is the author of The Fertile Soil of Jihad, Terrorism's Prison Connection. Let me ask you, Patrick, with the background that you've just given us about the doctrine as it has migrated into the prison systems and the converts that are now being transformed into model prisoners, wending their way inevitably into the society outside the walls, there's kind of the problem of people who went in there as terrorists, who are now being released, some of them, when they come to the end of their sentences. And then there's the problem of people who may have just gone in as criminals, but who've come out as jihadists. Talk a little bit about both of those problems as you see them, how widespread they are in terms of numbers or simply the magnitude of the threat.
Well, the first thing we have to admit is that everyone gets out of prison eventually. The vast majority walk out the front door, some die in prison. But the vast majority walk out the front door, whether they're drug addicts, whether they're thieves or violent offenders, or whether or not they've been convicted of terrorist crimes. They're going to come out the front door. We look for post-release programs that deal with issues such as substance abuse or alternatives to violence. But now when we talk about an individual coming out who was formerly a jihadist, what program is there for them to go to? We look at primarily organizations that are providing post-release programs for released inmates. If you look at major Muslim organizations, whether it be the Islamic Society of North America, MANA, any of those other groups, they all have somewhat of a post-release group trying to help ex-offenders. The Muslim Chaplain Services of Virginia or other groups that you had mentioned who do this. What we found when we were looking at radical Islamic individuals converting in prison, we found that they were being steered to particular mosques, not just any mosque. It wasn't just saying, you know, go to church on Sunday or go to services on Friday night. They were telling them, go to this particular mosque. And when we looked at that mosque, they had radical leanings. They had fundamentalist thinking that, again, was going with the Sharia or the world of Islam thinking.
That supremacist Sharia business. And when you saw them taken under the wing of the mosques that are known to have these proclivities, Patrick, is it your experience that typically that meant these former felons were being sort of inculcated with the jihad and therefore an even bigger problem for society perhaps than they were when they went in for what may have been a relatively minor crime?
Yeah, we found that they were both being inculcated and they were also being tested. People I follow for the domination of Islam and Sharia law are very shrewd and insightful individuals. So when an inmate, they know just primarily when an inmate, any inmate gets out of prison, they're faced with the same social temptations that they were before they went in. And so radical Islamic groups were not going to take, just because you said you converted in prison and now you're out, you're one of us, you have to faithfully go to Juma services, you have to continue to follow your deen, you have to continue. And so they would test them. They tell him, you have to go to this mosque. Now, when he got to the mosque, there would be further teaching. There would be further examination of the individual to see whether or not this was truly someone that they could use or that was truly a follower, as opposed to someone who was just hanging on when he was in prison to belong to a group.
Yeah. I don't know how much you know about this particular organization, but it seems to sort of fit in a way the profile you're talking about, but maybe on steroids. It's called Jamaat al-Fukra, Patrick, and it's said to have something on the order of 30 camps around or complexes around the United States, notably, I think the biggest of them up in Islamburg, New York, in your old stomping grounds. This is a group that reportedly has largely populated its ranks by these ex-cons, and they are said to be following a sheikh by the name of Jilani out of Pakistan, who is described in a videotape that's been made available, I think, by law enforcement, that he's built a state-of-the-art terrorism training infrastructure in the United States. What's going on with that? And can you confirm that it's as much of a problem as it sounds like?
Well, definitely. And that particular imam that you're talking about and that particular organization originally came out and was very active in the inner city in New York. And it wasn't until they had a disagreement with other mosque leaders in Brooklyn that they then broke off and went out to upstate New York, bought some land, and decided to form their own city, their own country, if you will. So they had long ties into the prison system through having a lot of ex-offenders who knew individuals who were in the prison so that they could eventually become some sort of a source for where is an individual going to go when he gets out of prison. I need a job. I need a place to live. I need a community. And so when an individual's getting ready to be released from prison, one of the things a parole officer would go and do is examine where he's going to go. Where's his house? Where's his halfway house? Are there any guns or any knives? Are they, you know, those external type of threats that they would look for? Well, of course, there's none in these type of halfway houses. Everything is modeled after, again, that organization, that discipline that I talked about inside the prison mosque. So it looks really good. I mean, they're not going to sit in and say, well, what's the foundation of this teaching? What are you actually trying to do here?
Well, I'll be interested to go back and look at this more closely, Patrick Dunleavy, but my understanding is that once they get into these compounds, those are basically off limits to the police. They dare not go into them. And there have been reports of weapons and explosives and other signatures of some very other dangerous stuff going on inside them. So it is of great concern, and not least is worth noting that Sheikh Jilani is the man that Wall Street Journal reporter Dan Pearl was trying to go see when he was somehow turned over to colleague Sheikh Mohammed and beheaded. Let me ask you very quickly in the last bit before we have to break. Did you, in your time observing these kinds of operations inside the prison, have occasion to talk to the wardens and others and raise concerns about what was happening? Or was this simply not something was, you know, polite conversation?
Again, it was trying to convince, you know, individuals, correctional administrators, individuals who have devoted their life to this type of career, to try to convince them that there was more than just having an individual, an inmate, look good. They know that inmates can become jail-wise, that just because the individual was no longer a threat in the prison didn't mean that he would not be a threat once he got out. But again, the correctional administrator, to somewhat not defend them, but to explain them, they're under so many federal mandates that one of their least concerns is that radicalized inmates, they have to comply with PREA, which is the Prison Rape Elimination Act. And there's so many mandates and programs that they have to have in place in order to continue to receive federal funding to pay for their prisons. So they have to prioritize according to what's the most important thing I have.
Yeah. And the hell with the country. That's the thing that's scary. Let me just ask you this. Patrick, we have to pause for just a second. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about both what's happening elsewhere around the world in this regard that we should learn from, and some specific recommendations I know you're doing about what needs to be done to protect society against these characters once they get out. That and more in our final installment with Patrick Dunleavy, straight ahead. Thank you.
to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.